Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with the Life Support of our church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be back on our live broadcast for our study in the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and glory. Exalt His holy name on tonight. I just thank and praise Him for His goodness on tonight. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture sung and a prayer. Scripture reading will be coming from, Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I have just read you from Psalms 95, in this whole, in the full, in the first 11 verses of 95. May God richly add a blessing to the doers, the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of His most holy word. Y'all look over me tonight. I'm a little tired on tonight. We're going to have a song. I'm not going to let it go to the length, but we're going to play it. I guess. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your whole name is God. You are, I give you glory. Oh, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, yes, I will worship you because of who you are. Everybody sing together.
Because of you are right here, you glory.
Just because of you,
you are my gift, you praise.
Because of who you are,
because
I will lift my voice.
Because
of what you've done, but because
of
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every sin, all sins, God, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we confess and repent, ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I come tonight, Lord, asking you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister, teach us tonight, God. Open up our minds and our hearts and our spirit, man, God, that we may receive your word. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to speak through me, your vessel, God. In the name of Jesus, just, Lord, just whatever it is that you want us to understand and know out of this chapter, God, these chapters, God, Lord, open us. Our minds, open us up to whatever your will is and your way, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover every member. I ask you to cover them in the shed blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them, they and their families, their homes and their vehicles. Lord, I ask you right now, God, to send your anointing, God. Send your glory cloud down, Father. Send the fire of God tonight. Let Deborah decrease. Let the Holy Ghost increase. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. We're going to get ready to start. I'm going to start reading that chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now, there was long war between the house of Saul in the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron. And his firstborn was Amnon of Ahimanon, the Jezreelite, Ahinam. And his second, Shelah, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third was Absalom, the son of Machi, the daughter of Tamiah, king of Gershur. And the fourth, Adajah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth was Ithrim by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, and to his friends, and have not delivered thee unto the hands of David, that thou chargest me today a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba, and he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. And Abner sent messages to David on his behalf, saying, "Who is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is that thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Philistine, the son of Laish, and her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return." And he returned. And Abner had communications with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hands of my servant David, I will save my people Israel the hands of the Philistines and out of the hands of all their enemies." And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went up also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, "I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desires." And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servant of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, "Send Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he hath sent him away, and he is gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou has sent him away, and he is quiet gone. Thou knowest, Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thou going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sariah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Esiah, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord, for even from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner, lest it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, let there not fail from the house of Joab one that have an issue, or this is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asaiah at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and rid you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the burial. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, die, Abner, as a fool died. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put unto fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fallest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the son of Zuria, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Amen.
Chapter 4. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other Rechab. The sons of Rimon and Beer was like of the children of Benjamin. For Beeris also was reckoned to Benjamin, and the Beerothite fled to Gittayim and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet, 5 years old, when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimon the bureaucrats Richard and Diana went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither unto the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib, and Richab and Diana, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, they lay on his bed in the bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and got them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, "Behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life. And the Lord has avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul and of his seed." And David answered Rechab, and Diana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said unto them, "As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity? When one told me, saying, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag. Who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings? How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed? Shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth?" And David commanded his young men, and they slew him and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool of Hebron, in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. Chapter 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, 'Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, "Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither," thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, "Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smited the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain." Wherefore they said, "The blind and the lame shall not come into the house." So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about him Milo or Milo and Inwood. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons. And they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people, Israel's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shammua and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon and Ibar also and Elishua and Nepheg and Japia and Elishama and Eliada and Eliphalet. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken forth unto my enemy before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gaza. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. Let us start answering these three chapters of questions, which really is yet 10 questions altogether. So we're going to start in chapter 3. Why did Abner become angry with Ish-bosheth? Why did he become angry with him? And it should be in verse 8. Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee unto the hands of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman?" So Abner had taken a former concubine of Saul as his own, and Ish-bosheth questioned him about this, and Abner felt she was his just reward. He felt like he should have been rewarded her in the first place. But, you know, that was that boy's daddy's wife, and I guess he respected her even almost as like his mother, even though she probably wasn't his mother, but that was his daddy's concubine, and he was just defending that. What did Abner resolve to do against the son of Saul? What did he resolve to do? It's either in 12 or 13, verse 12 or 13. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league. That's not it. Abner was trying to make sure, resolved to make sure Israel would be under David's leadership, but it's right in here. And he said, well, I would make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is that thou shalt not see my face, except that's something different. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my... Anyway, Abner was really trying to make sure Israel would be under David's leadership. That's the answer to the problem and to the question, what did Abner resolve to do against the son of Saul? Because he was saying or getting mad with him because he was sleeping with his, or he had, he went into Saul's concubine, Ish-bosheth, was got upset with Abner. So he was just trying to make sure, he was doing that to make sure David was the king over Israel, all Israel. He was just doing that to try to get back at Ish-bosheth. To me,
yeah.
Who did David ask for? And that's verse 14. He asked for his wife. That was his first wife, David. Who did David ask for from Abner? He asked for Michal. Because, you know, Saul got mad and took her back and gave her to somebody else when David wouldn't surrender unto him. What did Joab accuse Abner of doing now that? What did he accuse Abner of doing?
He accused him because he thought he was coming to David to get information of what David's plans are.
That's right. That's why he was so afraid that he was going to deceive David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just get all the information like he said and deceive him and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and try to overcome David try to find out information so they can beat his army and stuff like that. That's what he was trying to do too. Yeah, you're right. What did Joab do to Abner?
He murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. He murdered him.
I was thinking, Apostle, why they like to smite the person under the fifth rib?
I believe that's
what
where the
is
heart
about
is.
The fifth rib? Oh.
It's the heart. It's the heart. It's where the heart is up under the fifth rib. What curse did David speak against Joab's house, baby? He spoke a curse. Woo, Jesus. He spoke that curse. He pronounced sickness, disease, death, and poverty upon his household and his descendants. However, he said that the Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. That's in verse 29. He said, let it rest on his head, on the head of Joab and all of his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that have an issue, or that is a leopard, or that leaneth on a staff, or that stalleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. And all that was saying, all of that was saying is, he pronounced sickness, disease, death, poverty upon the his. Yes, he did. Okay, chapter 4. It's two questions. What happened to Ish-bosheth as he was resting in his house? What happened to him?
The two brothers came in to kill him. Ramon and
what's his name?
I mean, Rechab and Bayana.
And that's over there in verse 7, I think. For when they came into the house, he laid on his bed in his bed chamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and got them away through the plain all night. They brought the head of Ish-bosheth unto David to Hebron and said to the king, behold, the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul and his seed. But the thing that they didn't know about this was how much David loved Saul and Jonathan. And if he loved Saul and Jonathan, you know that David loved his family too. But nobody, that was an evil spirit Saul had, first of all, that God allowed to take over Saul. Saul wasn't always like that, but he was disobedient to God. And you know, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind if you just keep doing evil like that. And then and God was so upset with Saul because God chose Saul for the people. And Saul was around there taking bribes and doing all kind of stuff. But David still loved him. And he still said that was God's anointing. And he said, touch not thy anointing, do thy prophets no harm. And then he loved Jonathan to the teeth. You know, they made a covenant with each other. So it was just like that. And I don't know if that was the cripple boy. I don't know if that was the cripple boy or not. If that was the cripple boy, he really loved him. I don't know if that was him or not.
But no, that's Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth.
Oh, Jonathan's son. You know he was up
there. Yeah.
Now, you know he loved Jonathan. Oh, I know he was going to get it for that. Man, that's Jonathan's son. Okay.
So why do it say the son of Saul?
I don't know.
Yes, it's the son of Saul. Ish-bosheth. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son, the crippled one.
Oh, that's what you said. The crippled one is Jonathan's son.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what did David do to Rachel and Banana? what did David do to him? Did we just answer that? David he commanded his young men, not the old woman men, but he had them killed because they had killed an innocent person. He had them killed, but David in verse 12,
David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hung them up over the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner. Huh?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I feel like he told the young men to do it because, you know, these young kids these days are just so ruthless. And the older people, they have a heart. And I feel like he told the young people to do it because they was going to do it and get it done, weren't going to complain, and it would be just that.
Yeah, and then I believe he's bringing up a young army, too. He was trying to teach them. You know, because most of the time, and in the past time, David's men was never trained. You see what I'm saying? While the Philistine men, they trained those men to fight. But David is trying to train up some men that will fight because they're going to have more and more battles.
So that was what the battle was about. When Abner, young men, and David, young men, at the contest was to see who was best. That was like a training.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, makes sense.
He had them killed because they had killed them innocent people that didn't have nothing to do with what they were talking about. They shouldn't have killed them. Chapter 5. How old was David when he began to reign king over Judah?
He was 30.
I think it's in verse 4. David reigned a total of how many years? Let me see. How long did David reign in king over Judah and Israel together?
40 years. It was 40.
Mm-hmm. It was 40 years. Mm-hmm. Yep. It was 40 years. So he was the king that God wanted, and when David did something wrong, like I said, he would always go to God and repent, and he tried to do the thing. See, anybody else would have said, good job, you killed this one and you killed that one, but David's saying, why are you killing of people just to be killing? They not wicked. You know what I'm saying? They not bothering anybody. That was their grandfather and the father before that. Why are you killing them? They didn't kill Saul's descendants. You know, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, but that's the way things happen. Like when I told y'all about Jezebel, how she killed all the prophets, her and Ahab, and then her daughter started killing them and doing crazy stuff. But when her daughter had a son, he didn't know nothing about it. And that's who caught all the flack. He got killed for something he didn't know nothing about, punishment that they brought on their descendants and their generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes down through the generations when you have to know that if God did it then, allowed it then, he's still allowing it. God don't change. He the same. And so when things like that happen, it'll go down through your generation. You have to be really careful how you treat people, how you love people, how all of it, how to do all this witchcraft, this evilness and wickedness stuff. You have to watch it. I'm telling you, it's something. So this is just David beginning to reign and do stuff, and he still got some things. There's still some more very good chapters about David, but always know that David was a man after God's own heart. I don't care what happened, what did, if he did wrong, he repented. And he always asked God. I read it when we was reading. I seen in there what he asked the Lord, should I go up? Should I go out? That's what we have to do. We have to do the same thing regard God. We have to go to him and ask him stuff like that. We just take it up on our own and go over to the 25th Street and all this kind of stuff. You need to ask God before you do anything, especially, and I just be thinking about myself. Maybe I should have asked God before I took this job. You know, maybe I should have asked God before I did this. We have to start asking God before we make a decision. We have to ask God about it. We can't just jump and do anything because it's consequences in things that you do. You know, it's a consequence to it. And we have to know that, and it may not be a bad consequence, it may not be a good one, but for everything we do, we should take it to the Lord. We should, especially if it's something serious, we should take it to God. He was taken every time. He knew if he went to God, God would show him how to win the battle. And this is another thing. If we in a battle, and we ought to know when we in a battle, we ought to go to God. Go to God. Go to God with it. And he'll tell you how to get out of it. He'll tell you how to fight it, everything. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. It's a good thing when we can go to God and get the answer that we're looking for, even if it's not. You know, and I'm going to have to talk about that again. Maybe I'll talk about it Sunday when God says no. Maybe I'll talk about that Sunday because we don't never want to accept when God say no. Oh, that ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about this. He's talking no. When he say no, he mean no. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we ask him, and we don't want to accept that. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments?
So was David, how can I say this without, was he promiscuous?
Yes. No. Yeah, he was promiscuous. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yep. People, we work so hard. People don't know what we're doing. The prophet is wrong. Time. Did I miss training? This ain't training, this Bible class. You know, we just be on all of this. And people just be trying to get in and where they can fit in at. Mm-hmm. I just typed and told her we on Bible class. Tuesdays and Thursdays is always Bible class. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But we're going to do one more week of training. The week after I come back, I was trying to look for the week we're going to start on the week of the 7th, and that's going to be the last week of training, and then I'll start doing the spiritual fuel stop evening on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and maybe let me see. I'm thinking maybe the first week in October. I'm trying to see when the chaplain thing is over. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm gonna start teaching demonology the 9th of October. We're going to have at a deliverance conference. So I'm going to teach on demonology the week of the 9th of October. I'm going to teach a demonology class, and I'm going to teach it till the Lord tell me to stop, because it's very important for us to know where we're going with this. What, you know, especially that's the weekend of the deliverance, healing and deliverance service. So I think that's good. But even after that, I'm going to continually teach it until the Lord tell me to stop. But then we got it's 6 weeks for the first chaplain class. And once that's over with, I'll start on I continue with the demonology class. We need to know about that. Even because we some of us is in finding our purpose, and we need to know with the purpose come these demons. So, and you need to know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And and then we need to, I'm going to have a time to teach on dreams and visions and stuff like that, but I want to get this demonology stuff out the way, because we need to know about that. But this was a good lesson. We won't have anything next week, Bible class, training, nothing, the whole week, not even I won't even no service on Sunday. We won't have nothing that week, unless Prophet Salah wants to preach. Other than that, Prophet Salah. Other than that, nobody else will. A woman. I mean, somebody else could have, but they gonna be gone too. So we just gonna close it down for this week. Coming up next week. And then we'll come back fresh on the second week in August, and we're going to come running, because I won't have but 4 weeks in the chaplaincy class of storing. And whoever's going to get started with the chaplaincy class need to get their finances in. Like I say, you could pay, you know, half here or there and like that. I don't even like to charge people, but this is for it to be notarized, and a lot of the stuff that you're going to get is going to cost me, and so I'm going to have to, you know, pay and stuff like that. So you all start getting your stuff together whenever you know. I know it's hard times, so I ain't trying to pressure nobody, but I'm trying to let everybody know, you know, what's going on. I got to order badges and stuff like that and get all this stuff notarized so it can be a legal document. Mm-hmm. So you can go where you need to go, when you need to go. If there are any more questions or comments, we're going to get ready to get off of here. Like I say, this was a good lesson. You know, anything what David is in, the Bible is good all in itself. What I love to read about David and Solomon and them, it's real good. It's chapter, second chapter of Samuel is real good. But we're going to get ready to get off of here.
Before you go off, Pastor, I want to ask you about an author, Kimberly Daniels. I have two of her books.
You have
what? Dictionary. Kimberly,
yeah,
Daniels.
It. Yeah, I got that.
Okay, so you recommend
it. Yeah, I got a another demon dictionary that my husband, Apostle Deans, I be scared to look in it because it got so much stuff in it. It's way deeper than Kim's. I got Kim's. I got hers. And he got one I think he had a long time ago. But we're going to study out of both of them. It's good to know I got a book with the names of demons. I got every demon name in one little book I bought. I don't even put it out until I have to. But this is this. We need to know this stuff. You need to know what you're up against, and you need to know, you know, things like that. We ain't trying to get spooky or scary, because God don't give us the spirit of fear. You ain't got nothing to fear of them, you know. God, the devil give them power. God don't give them nothing, and God got all power. So you know. Once we start studying, you may have come up against some stuff, but, you know, you have to stand strong in God. And so we're going to come back here And we'll start with chapter 6. Yeah, I don't know how it is. And it'll be August 11th. August 11th, we'll start back. So
we're going to get ready to close out.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, and I thank you for opening up our understanding tonight. Lord, we thank you for just teaching us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for just allowing us to study and together in unity, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for each one of their commitments and their supports and their studying, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to cover them in the blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about them. Lord, bless their homes and their family and their vehicles, God, even the property, God. Cover them and bless them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So let it be. I will be on the live in the morning at 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern time. God bless you all. I love you. You know, have a good night, the rest of your night. God bless y'all. I love you.
Love you.
Good night.
Love you all.
God bless you.
Love you. Good night.